Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Well, welcome back, church. You may have an idea how glad I am to see you because you're probably that glad to see each other, but I want you to know this morning, I'm doing calisthenics and jumping up and down inside because it's just such a joy to see you in this place. It's just so great. You probably have recognized, if you were watching or streaming the services for the past few weeks, that for the last, 12 or 13 weeks, however long it's been, we've been sequestered into that corner of the auditorium in a television set, if you will, trying to stream and connect, and it's the best we could do. But we managed to get through that context, and here we are back in this context together. And I just want you to know, for the record, this is better. And for those of our church family who are streaming the service right where you are, we want you to know we love and feel the connection we have with you. It is a joy to be a family together, and there are so many things we're learning right now about how to be together in the context of who we are as the body of Christ and as a church family. So right where you are, I want you to know that we love you. We're reaching for you. We just imagine you sitting right here. In fact, there are some seats right by Pastor Lanway right here in the front row. I'm just going to picture you right here, and we're just going to go with that idea that you're right here. So settle into the experience, and let's let God talk to us this morning. You know, the reality is that this morning we're going to open the scriptures and let God talk to us. And my hope is that you'll let God talk to you where you are. There is a really good chance that by the end of today's message, each and every one of us may likely be offended in some way, shape, or form. I just want to go on the record as saying that God's word goes right to difficult, challenging topics, and he is always intending to bring healing and restoration and reconciliation to things that divide people. But along the way, we all tend to find that we stumble in the process over our own thoughts and feelings. And I just want to be on the record to say that I'm no different than anybody else. I'm stumbling over thoughts, and I'm stumbling over this. And I want you to know this morning, I covet your prayers because as your pastor, I'm responsible to take what I believe is the word of God for our church family and say, church family, I know we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know that we're all responsible for our spiritual growth and development as we connect with God in that relationship. But I also acknowledge that in the role that Pastor Sheree and I serve, that we're responsible to say, this is how we see God leading our church family. And that is a substantial and significant responsibility. And we don't take it lightly. We serve you with joy in our hearts, but we serve with a sobriety to that as well. And so this morning I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to speak to our hearts, because what I'm really hoping more than anything is that we will hear him. You won't hear me. Fair enough? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us as we start this new season on the other side of being sequestered into our homes and different modes of worship together, Lord. And now some of us are able to reconnect here on the campus, and others of us are still kind of working through the journey of how to respond to our own individual conditions and circumstances. Lord, each of us acknowledge that you are our Heavenly Father. We need you, and we are open to hear your heart and your word today. I thank you, Lord, that you're causing your Spirit's effect to touch our hearts in a way that opens our minds, opens our hearts, and brings the context of healing to who we are, so that we as the body of Christ can be who you've called us to be. Lord, we cannot expect people who don't know you to respond to the circumstances as if they did know you. It is our place as the church to do that. So we need you more than ever before that we realize. The truth is we've always needed you, but today, Lord, we're acknowledging we need that special impartation of your Holy Spirit's work. Bind our hearts together with love that cannot be broken. Cause us to be responsive to your Spirit, Lord. We are grateful for your leadership. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Amen. So My petition for all of you today is to let me work thoughtfully through some things that the Lord has put in my heart to explore together with you as a church family. It's really, really important to me to serve you today. I never stand in this place of ministry with the kind of finger pointing at people. My intentional conviction is always to say, this is what I sense God saying, and I'm preaching to me first. And today is no different than that, but I'm asking you to give me the permission to thoughtfully work my way through things that God's put in my heart in response to where we are as a nation, as people, as friends, as families, because God very much cares about what we're working through, and God very much has an answer for the dilemma and the circumstance we find ourselves in. And this morning, I want you to know that our God is big and he's powerful, but in his supremacy and in his transcendent, he's not removed from who we are. In fact, one of the things that makes God so powerful in his effect in our lives is he doesn't just stay in heaven and lecture us from afar with a finger pointing across the cosmos. He actually transcends all of that and gets imminently involved in our personal experience. So I'm very grateful for that. This morning I'm going to ask that as we go through this that you'd be listening for what God's talking to you about. There's a good chance he'll talk to each of us from a different perspective because all of us are in different places in life and all of us have different experiences in life. What we share together is that we're in the body of Christ together and by the blood of the Lamb of God have access to the throne room of God the Father. And when we sit at his feet and listen to his words, we become his family in a powerful picture, in a powerful way. So let me get into what I believe God is calling us to explore this morning. I want to start by saying it's highly unlikely that there's anyone listening today that is unaware of what our nation and our world is going through. The homicide of George Floyd on May 25th has lifted the horrors of injustice into the collective awareness of our nations. And I acknowledge that this particular injustice is highlighting the devastating effect that racism has on the soul of people, communities, and nations. I just want to let that sit there for a minute because what I do not want to do today is to inject an anesthesia into our soul to make us feel better. What we need to do is be willing to pursue a path that Jesus is leading us towards, so that what the enemy means for our destruction, he can turn for our good. Listen carefully. The enemy is actually out to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's always working on, and he's working on it right now. It's no different. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life to the full, which means I came to intervene, and my intervention is going to bring you life and restoration, life to the full. The roots of this particular issue of racism are absolutely from the pits of hell. They're from the father of lies who works tirelessly to divide people by any means necessary, any means available, and whatever will work, he doesn't care as long as people are divided. So I want to just go right to something. There's a good chance all of us are aware of what's going on. But there's a difference between being aware of something and being moved by it. The question I have for me, and I believe the question God would have for all of us, is are we moved? Are we compelled by compassion to intervene with whatever I have access to? In other words, with wherever I'm at in the position and condition or station in life that I'm in, with all that I have, am I willing to be moved to intervene into the circumstances of those who are not able to do so themselves? The Bible is very clear that in Philippians 4, chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, God tells us, don't look out only for our own interests, but take an interest in others too. We must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. I want to spend just a few minutes in this particular verse because this is something that God wants us to know. God, Jesus had a right to who he is and where he was in heaven. But when he considered our lostness separated from our Father, when he considered the plight of our souls, when he considered the devastating effect of the humanity was in by virtue of sin and separation from God, when he looked at that, he was moved with compassion to leave what he rightfully had access to in heaven and to actually insert himself into the human form to become part of what we would now call redemption. It's the motivation that moved Jesus out of his divine privileges and into a position to intervene. So listen to one of the sermons Jesus said, preached in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. So Jesus went to Nazareth, this is not on the screens, I'm just throwing it out here for us, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." Everyone say anointed. That means empowered me by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, Jesus said, listen, everybody, I want you to know clearly what I'm here to do. I'm here to intervene. I'm not here to preach sermons. I'm not here to make an impression. I'm not here to become famous. I'm not here to become popular. I'm not here to do anything else except to intervene. I feel him saying that to me today. And in this context, this is where I feel the Lord talking to me. And again, I can't project this on anybody else. I'm a brother in Christ, just like we are brothers and sisters together. And in this context, I'm submitting this to you as those whom I serve in the role that I'm privileged to serve as a lead pastor. That there is a part of this that God's speaking to me about. I want to be very candid with you on this because I do not think that I'm something. I'm a brother. He said, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. And this is where I feel God talking to me about, for me. I can't project this onto anybody else other than to acknowledge that it is clear to me that I've got some blind spots. It would be inappropriate for me to just plow forward and try to lead this church without first acknowledging I've got some blind spots. The good news is Jesus said he came to help me out of those blind spots. I had a brother call me a couple of weeks ago. He addressed me in the context that I serve. He said, Pastor Dave, I want you to know that there's something going on I don't think you see. And he began to explain his paradigm and he gave me his lens and he said, I want you to look through my lens and see this because I don't think you see something. And when my brother of a different color gave me his lens, I had to repent and say, I don't think of myself as a racist, but I am blind to things that you go through, and it's not okay. Now listen, this is a complicated centuries, really, it's been here forever. And I don't mean to imply that in a single sermon anybody can fix something. But I can say to all of you this morning that there is a dimension of my leadership efficacy that has been compromised by blind spots. Not malicious, but just there. But the good news is, because God gives me brothers and sisters from different with different lenses, we can help each other see through blind spots. Amen. How many of you know it's really hard to see through a blind spot? That's what blind spot means. You can't see through it. What made that conversation possible, effective, was a relationship. It's the relationship that made the difference. If I would have listened to somebody I didn't know lecture me on racism, I would have thought, you're just being stupid. I don't see it that way. But a brother with a different color said, let me give you my lens. And God helped me see something. As soon as I saw it, I said, okay, let's get busy. Why? Because this is what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. And in my case, that's what he was saying. I'm going to help you recover some of that blindness by looking through the lens of somebody else that I put in front of you. To set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Hey, everybody, I want you to know God's kingdom is a kingdom of favor. God's kingdom is a kingdom of blessing. God's kingdom is a kingdom of extraordinary favor and blessing. So to all of us as a church family, and especially our my brothers and sisters that Pastor Cherie and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor for the areas of your life directly affected by our blindness in certain aspects, until this point, we're asking your forgiveness. Not pity. It's not that we're asking you to feel sorry for us, we're not. We're just saying, forgive us. We're asking your forgiveness. Why? Because that's what God tells us in his word we do. When we discover we've offended or hurt each other, we don't bow up and say, let me tell you why I think this. Let me tell you why I feel like this way. Let me give you all my 100 reasons why I don't think this. And let me tell you my logic and my thinking and this and that. And that. You know why? Because that doesn't help anything. You know what helps? Humility. The ability to come to each other and say, hey, I am sorry. Could you forgive me? Can we start a new season? Can we move forward together? Can we watch what God would do through the alignment of our intention together to bring a real sense of restoration to what the enemy means for our destruction? Hey, everybody, listen. It's the enemy that means to destroy us. But let me point out an element of what Jesus did when he came to intervene. Jesus didn't just parachute out of the clouds with a message from heaven. In other words, he is truth. He could have just parachuted out of the clouds with a message from heaven and said, let me tell y'all something, this will fix everything. But he didn't. You know what he did? Look at verse 7 again. He gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born into as a human being. Then when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself into obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. You know what he did? Let me get you this point. Before he gave us a message, he lived in our skin. Before he opened his mouth to say one word about the message from heaven, you know what he did? He lived over 30 years in our skin. He didn't appear in pristine perfection and tell us all the stuff that was wrong with us. You know what he did? He said, I'm going to come and live in your skin for a while. You know what that did for us? Made us relatable. Fair enough? I understand the complex theology of the hypostatic union. He's all God and he's all man at the same time. It's really hard to understand all that. The theology of that is fantastic, and on a test, I think I could pass. That's not the issue. The issue is what he did was he said, David, I'm going to come do something for you that you can't understand. I'm going to intervene in ways that you don't realize, but before I do that, I want you to know I get you. I see where you're coming from. You know why? Because I lived it for decades. I didn't just watch it from God's perspective. I actually got in your world and lived with you. I didn't sin. I was tempted in every way. I'm acquainted with all the things you go through. You know why? Because I lived it. You know what that does for me as a person? When I'm struggling, I go, you know what? I'm going to come to my Redeemer. You know why? Because I know he gets me. Makes God approachable. It makes me open to his message. Everybody listen, if all God did was yell from heaven, we would never have heard the message. You know what made the difference? He left his position, he got into my skin, and for over 3 decades lived in my experience. You know what that did for me? Gives me the ability to relate. You know what a relationship is based on? The ability to relate. Listen, if all we ever do is leverage our positions to assail one another's isms and issues, we're never going to see healing. But that's not what God did. God had every right to stay in heaven and lecture us about sin. Instead, what he did is, I'm going to come live in your skin for a little bit. I want you to know I've got your lens. I know exactly where you're at. I know where exactly. That way, when I'm explaining, when I'm beginning to intervene, when I'm doing what I'm doing, you can trust me. One of the reasons we're struggling so hard in this context is we don't trust each other. You know why? Because even in the church, we feel very comfortable finding our theological positions and our cultural contexts and our experience, and we just leverage that against each other as if our opinion is the one that matters. God said, none of that matters. Here's what matters. Your family. Compelled by compassion, he entered our experiential reality, earned our trust, and then provided a way out of our prison and into his kingdom of favor. Let me read this thought to you again. Compelled by compassion, not religion, compelled by compassion, he entered our experiential reality and earned our trust and then provided a way out of our prison and into the God's kingdom and favor. He was compelled by compassion to get into our experience for a while. Earn the trust of who we are as people. And then say, let me show you what redemption looks like. You know what else he did? He called us as his people, regardless of our race or any other dividing ism or issue, to represent him and his missional purpose in the intervention of the human experience. You know what that means? Bottom line, no matter where we come from, when we meet at the cross, he says, here's your mission. This is your mission. What's our mission? Why are we here? Why are we breathing? Why are we still alive? Why did God bring us to this place? Because we have a mission. You know what our mission is? Not the advance of our political agendas, not the advance of parties or policies. You know what the agenda is? This. Second Corinthians 5:18 says this, and all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone say reconciliation. The ability to come into a complex, high stakes, high dynamic, volatile, deep issue and say, here's two different issues, two different competing factions. I want to reconcile the people in the context of a relationship. Why? That's who I am. That's what I do. He reconciled this from us to himself through God and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed this message to us, this message of reconciliation. That's what he's saying. I'm committing this to you. This is what I did. I want you to see where I came from. I want you to see what I did. And now I'm calling you to do the same thing. What? Enter into the process of reconciliation. What does that mean? Not lecturing people, not leveraging your agendas and issues, but actually stepping out of your position alongside of somebody else who's in a different spot in life, different place in life, different race in life, different issue in life, different whatever. Just come alongside of them and say, show me your lens for a little bit. Amen. Why? Because I believe we can see through each other's lens for a little bit. God can do something between us to bring us together. God was reconciling the world to himself. Again, not counting people's sins against them. Did you catch that? Not counting people's sins against them. In other words, doesn't matter where you're coming from, there's going to be an element of sacrifice on all of our parts. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. He gave up his right for the benefit of the kingdom of God. He was committed and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Then verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though, listen to this carefully, as though God were making his appeal through us. You know what my sincere hope is? That I get better at coming along with somebody else who's in a different spot, from a different place, in a different circumstance in life, and in that conversation, what they sense and feel is, I feel God is making his appeal through you. I feel like I'm listening to the sound of God at work in your voice. Today, Jesus is reminding us that this is our purpose, and it starts with us. Hey, church, it starts with us. Hey, church, it starts with us. I know there was a specific intent and a specific audience for the scripture, but the transferable principle is universally applied to everyone who calls themselves as belonging to God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says what? If my people, which are what? Called by my name. Hey, everybody, when you take his name, you take his mission. When I take his name, I take his mission. One of the Ten Commandments. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in. They don't take his name if you won't take his mission. If my people, which are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves. Everybody, listen, we've probably read this 1,000 times. We've probably shared it back and forth 1,000 times. But today, like never before, how powerful is that picture? If my people called by my name will actually do this, will humble themselves, not entrench yourself, not gussy yourself up with all your arguments and look at me, I've got this friend, and look at me, I've got this family member, and look at me, I've got this. I don't have that problem. Hey, do you have your lens? Do I have your lens yet? No, then I may not have your trust yet either. But he said, the key forward is if my people called by my name will what? Humble themselves. You know what the picture of humility looks like? It's not defensive. It's not argumentative. It's humility. Will humble themselves and pray. And what? Seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Does it shock you that there are people with God's name on that still have wicked ways? No, wicked just means twisted. It means there's an area that's not been straightened out in us yet. But God said, hey, I'm going to come straighten that issue out on you. Why? I need you to sound more like me in the posture of redemption, reconciliation. I've given you this mission. Are you willing to take it? You took my name. Are you willing to take the mission too? This is our purpose. It starts with me. This is our purpose, and it starts with me. I can't tell you what to do. I can tell you what I believe God's saying to us. I can tell you what I believe God's saying to me. And the church getting this right is the hope of the world. What does that verse go on to say? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I what? Hear from heaven and what? Hear their land. Hey, let me tell you what healing doesn't mean. Healing's not anesthesia. Healing means I get right down to the actual issue and I heal the issue so that there is health there. There's no more disease in that situation. There's no more brokenness. There's no more cancer there. I healed it. I healed it. So there's 27 minutes worth of context. What does that mean for us as a church? Let me wrap this up by saying this. God has brought this church together as a church family to do more than sing together on Sundays. He brought us together to link our lives together with him and to each other, where we are truly brothers and sisters. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, here's what I know is already happening. There are many people, a lot from this congregation and a lot from around the different other churches, but there are many people active in demonstrating our pain, anger, and frustration to injustice. Let's let our voices be heard. What can you do to say, I do not stand for injustice? As you're expressing your voice, please do so being motivated by and toward the outcome of biblical justice and reconciliation. Don't just lob more gasoline on the fire for somebody else's issue and agenda. Let's work towards it, the actual healing of the circumstance and addressing the injustice and healing the circumstance. In addition to that, we're actually using our influence to see justice and really reconciliation as well. Listen to this. Last week, a week and a half ago, I called the mayor of Gilbert, the mayor of Chandler, and the governor's office. So far, I've been in direct contact with the mayor of Chandler. A group of pastors were able to meet with him this past Wednesday. In that context, we're already watching to see what God's working with city leaders, who he's positioned in city positions of leadership, and pastors who lead congregations of every different race, to say, how can we actually leverage our influence to see this particular injustice is dealt with and settled and healed? Tomorrow, I'm meeting with a senator. And then again, this week, I'll be meeting with the mayor of Chandler again. Other pastors, what are we doing? Taking the platform that God's given me, which is not just that of a pastor, but the platform of influence, to say, listen, I'm not going to sit by and just let this issue go. We're going to weigh in on the situation. We're going to keep working on it until we actually watch what God intends to bring healing and restoration and reconciliation. Why? Because we can't just sit in auditoriums and sing kumbaya with each other. We got to actually see what will God let us do to bring injustice to its knees. Anybody offended yet? Because I got just a few more. I'm trying. So practically, what can you do? Let your voice be heard. Not from the position of adding more gas to the fire, but what can you do to get somebody else's lens? How can you see where somebody else is coming from? Then I want to encourage you to listen to a few of the discussions that macro leaders in the body of Christ are having. Over the past week and a half, I've been very intentional to say, God, what are you saying to the body of Christ through voices you've put in positions of macro leadership? Two of them that I'd recommend are a conversation I saw between Stephen Furtick and John Gray. If you've not seen that yet, it's on YouTube. In fact, everything I'm telling you right now, I'm going to put on LifeLink social media later this afternoon, so you can just click the links and go see them. But then I saw another discussion with Crouch. His first name just left my mind. Paul Crouch's son, was it TBN Crouch? Is it Paul? Huh? Matt. That's right, Matt. Matt, Dr. Tony Evans, Kirk Franklin, and Robert Morris. Macro voices in the body of Christ, having a discussion that helps me see where other people are coming from that I don't naturally see. What is that doing? It's giving me lens from people God's positioned in positions of influence in his body for messaging times like this. Does that make sense, everybody? So are you going to be frustrated by that experience? Probably. You're going to be inspired by that experience? Hopefully. I'm going to encourage you to, if you've not already done so, listen to these two conversations. Then I'm also going to put up a link to a post that Holly Wagner from Oasis Church in California put out with some practical steps. She and her husband, Philip, are pastors of a great church in California. I'm going to put that out. And I'm going to just encourage you to read through it and say, God, what in this list of action steps would be appropriate and constructive for me to be able to do? Listen, we're almost done. I just have a couple more minutes. And by the way, you guys are doing great. So I don't want us just to think prayer and prayer alone is going to do it. We got to actually do something. So there are some practical steps. But here's the specific step that I believe with Pastor Sheree and our elders and our staff who work together to serve this church family in all the different perspectives. We believe God has called us to a season this summer to recalibrate what we're doing with our church programming. In other words, today we were supposed to kick off a semester or summer semester of small groups, and this is how we've always done everything. But God said, not this season. And this season I'm actually going to give you an action step as a church family that I want to use to actually show you who each other is, so you don't just sit together and sing together on Sundays, but you actually know each other. The practical next step God's Holy Spirit has led us to take is to reframe our summer ministry functions to focus on the church family table. When families spend time at the table with each other, sharing a meal, sharing life, sharing experience, you know what happens? The relationships are strengthened. We're enhanced in our perspectives. We learn who each other is. And in the middle of all that, God says, I'm going to bring something out of this that's going to transform who you are and how I work through you, the yes that you give me for the purpose I've called you to accomplish. You guys still with me? Practically speaking, starting this Wednesday at the church, instead of doing life groups as usual, what we're going to do is we're going to fill the lobby with round tables. We're going to put about 6 chairs per table. We're going to provide flatware, paper plates, napkins, water bottles. We're going to ask you to bring whatever food you would normally eat, whether it's Wendy's or some super souped up casserole. I have no idea what you would eat on Wednesday night, but whatever that is, bring it with you. The whole place is going to smell like food. It's going to be awesome. You know what we're going to do? We're going to eat with people that don't look like us, not in the same position or station as us. We're going to actually sit across the table on Wednesday night from 5:30 to 6:30. The doors open at 5:30. We'll be ready for you. Bring your bags and whatever it is. The church is not providing the food. We're providing the flatware, paper goods, and water bottles. That makes sense? You bring your food. We're going to sit down together. We're going to eat together. We're going to get to know each other a little different. You know why? Because when I do that, I start to see life through your lens. Then at 6:45 to 7:30, we're going to move out of that environment into this environment. Then we're going to pray together. You know, I believe God's going to do in this context. He's going to start weaving our lives together in relationships that are deep, 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 deep. Why? Because God's going to heal our nation. After hundreds of years of a demonic strategy to divide people along the lines of race, God's Spirit is saying enough is enough. And it's time for my people to stand in, not in the posture of rage, but stand in the posture of healing and say, this is how we do this. And say, hey, Pastor, if you think a chicken leg on a Wednesday night is going to make a difference, it's got the right seasoning on it. I don't think one dinner is going to do it, but I tell you what, I believe if we'll start down a path that God's leading us on as a congregation, he'll take us the next step too. Then he'll take us the next step too. Where is he going to lead us? Don't know. What I do know is he knows what he's doing. Listen, our Heavenly Father is not confused. He knows exactly where the world is. Knows exactly how to bring redemption and reconciliation to people and heal our nation. And he's not going to do it through different policies. He's not going to do it alone through different people. He's going to do it through the power of his kingdom manifesting in his body, the church. Do we have civic responsibilities? Absolutely. Are we going to do that? You better believe we're going to do that. Is all that going to happen? Yes, it is. But we're not going to count on the arm of the flesh to do anything. You know why? Because healing doesn't come from the sword. Healing comes from the spirit. Healing comes from the heart. God is the one who heals the heart and brings reconciliation and redemption. That makes sense? So starting this Wednesday, 5:30, the doors will be open, the tables will be ready. Anybody who's able to do so, please feel welcome to come. If we need more space, we'll put food all over the place. But the thing I'm asking you to do is don't sit with people you're already comfortable with. Sit with somebody you don't know. And as you're chatting and chewing, ask for each other's lens. Tell me about your life. What's your experience? We're going to watch God do a miracle. You say, Pastor Dave, is this going to really make a difference? Here's what I do know. God started us this year with this particular scripture in the first sermon of January, and I'm almost done. The sermon series was closed on Sunday. You probably don't remember that. But God said on the very first sermon, here's the scripture that I've put in front of this congregation as the scripture for the year. This is the verse for the year. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and what? Lean not on your own understanding, but what? All your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll what? Direct your path. Hey, church, let me ask you, look me right in the eyes. God is directing us. Will we follow? God is directing us. Will we follow? Does he know how to take a single step like that and turn it into a tsunami of transformation in a nation? You better believe it. You better believe it. So you say, hey, Pastor Dave, how do you land a sermon like this? I don't know. Can't you tell? Here's why I think it's important, because there's no period on this. This is just a comma. God's writing a story with our lives. As for me in our house, willing to say, God, you can use my life as the pen of your intent. Communicate through me. You have my yes. I don't know where this is going, but I know who's leading the charge. It is not me. It is not Cherie. Jesus is leading his church. I have hope deep in my soul that God is positioning this generation so that this is the last generation that ever has to raise people in our homes guarding each other from each other. We're going to watch God do. I believe in a single generation he can do it. I believe he can bring healing, not just programs. And I believe he can start with a simple yes. Pastor Trina, I love you. We love being on the journey with you. We're committed. I've probably offended everybody today. Here's what I want you to know. I'm not a poser. I'm not going to stand in the position and try to pretend to be something. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. Pastor Trina and I do this together in the context of unity. And I believe in our generation, we're going to watch God do this and finish what the enemy meant for our destruction and redeem it for our good. Y'all feel it? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your faithfulness. You are a good, powerful, and present God. Thank you for not lecturing us from heaven in your pristine condition of holiness, but with sinless, flawless perfection, you actually inserted your life into our experience and for decades lived in our skin. And you said, I've learned what it means to be a human. I know exactly how to bring redemption. God, thank you for what you did in that context. And today, Lord, Pastor Sheree and I, the pastoral staff, our church elders, all of our ministry teams, Lord, we lean in to serve this congregation with a powerful sound of redemption and healing. God, we're not asking you to anesthetize us and make the feelings go away, Lord. You can make them even more intense if you need to. God, what we really want is true, legitimate, redemptive, restorative, transformational healing so that we can be the picture of unity. And God, be an actual example of hope to a nation and a world in the ravages of darkness. Lord, we want to be active in our response to what we see in front of us. But we want to be active in the context of following your direction, not simply doing what we think was the right thing to do. So we thank you for it. We commit this season, God, of this summer, for June and July especially as we do this, that we'll meet one another at the tables. We'll learn how to connect with each other at deeper levels. We'll learn how to learn and earn the trust of one another in deeper and more meaningful ways. And God, in doing so, give you access to our hearts in yielded postures that we've never had before. I thank you for what you're going to do with that, God. You're going to give us victory. You're going to bring healing. You're going to demonstrate the kingdom of God is powerful. And you'll do it in a way that is unmistakably yours. We give you our lives. We give you our yes. We'll be about your mission. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.